This program is sponsored by Dave Stahl.
Get ready to kick up some dirt and mud because it's time for San Diego Off-Road Coalition Radio with Dave Stahl. SDORC is here to further off-roading as a safe family experience while promoting and preserving the natural environment. So whether it's bikes, buggies, trucks, or trikes, San Diego Off-Road Coalition Radio brings you the latest news and initiatives in preserving the use of off-highway vehicles and protecting the land and wildlife at the same time. Because together, everyone achieves more. Now, here is your host, Dave Stahl.
All right. Thanks for joining us on SDORC Dirt Radio here for our third hour. We are here in studio. I've got Ed Stoven and Chris Visconti joining me. Dave Stahl is out and about. He's enjoying his first Sunday off in over a decade, maybe two, where he's not on radio for us. So thank you for allowing us to take over your hour, Dave. It means the world to us while you're out with GMC exploring Anza Borrego State Park and having some fun at the Diablo drop-off, which I'm totally envious of that you're going through right now, which I didn't think that the trucks could make it through.
I want to know if he went up it or down it.
Well, you know, Diablo drop-off in mine, I'm thinking it's, well, that's the squeeze, though. The squeeze is the one. Pinion Mountain squeeze is the one that. That's
I've gone up that on the motorcycle, by the way.
Have you?
Last year, yeah.
Oh, yeah, yeah. You can't
it's
really
gnarly.
Fit through.
I don't recommend people try it. Unless you have a rescue helicopter on speed dial.
Yes, so.
So Dave is out in the desert testing some new vehicles, and he left us 3 hours to cover.
Yeah.
So we're a little nervous, but we're making it through. We're two-thirds of the way through. Audrey is kicking butt and taking names.
Which is surprising because this is the most nervous I've been in 2 years on radio.
You look really nervous.
Radio.
You're normally very together.
Yeah, yeah. I want to do a shout-out to Kelly and Justin, Termite and Pest Control. It's a family-owned and operated business with over 45 years of experience. Your health, your family, health, and home are the most important things in this world, and we just want to help you protect them. Our safe and reliable, affordable pest control services will help keep your home pest-free and healthy. They're actually due to come to my house on Monday and treat for some ants and some earwigs I have going on right now.
Not those.
It's the season. So give them a call. They're here for any of your pest control needs at 619-441-7378.
I wonder if they help with fleas.
They can do fleas as well.
They got
fleas. Yeah, they got fleas too.
Talk to them about fleas.
Get your yard sprayed.
Oh my God.
So
Chris,
suggested.
Welcome to the radio.
Thank you for having me. I appreciate it.
Yeah.
So what is your background with off-road vehicles?
Off-road in general, I'm more of a sand guy. I've been pretty much riding Gordon's Wells for, God, since 92. Got out of the military in 92, and within 6 months was in a sand car and had quads and trailer setups and all that good stuff and got into the desert. Gone as a kid with neighbors, they kind of got me into it growing up in Chula Vista. And then just once I was adult and could afford to buy my own stuff, it was on from there.
Did you ever drive across to Algodones and have lunch?
No, that was before.
That was before you got it? I never did it, but I have some friends. They would ride across into Mexico to the town, have lunch, and ride back.
Yep, we stayed at Buttercup, I've done that a few times.
You've done that?
Oh, yeah.
Really?
Yeah, we used to go have tacos in Algodones.
That was the big thing.
What a fun adventure. Wow, like it's
never
a different
drunk,
world.
Yes, it's a total different world. And half the time, I didn't even realize I was riding in Mexico until they put the fence up. And when they put the fence up, I was like, geez, really? I was in Mexico.
Most people didn't realize how close the border actually is right there without the fence there.
Yeah. No.
So they would ride in, and that's what it was. They would go down and have tacos, whatever it is, and ride back. That was a lot of it in the late 80s. It was kind of that, and then it kind of started winding down to that point. Yeah, that was back in the three-wheeler days.
Yeah, well, I could say, because I can say it was actually after 2004. The last time I think I did it was 2008. Yeah, right when the economy crashed, I think 2008 was right when my last time of riding over there, right before the fence went up.
Exactly. Yeah, that tends to stop people for the most part.
It tends to stop people.
So Audrey said you helped with some raffles. Like at Acorn Casino?
Yeah, I did a few things. Back then I was working for a company, and we'd been doing the desert for about a decade. And it was one of those things where me and some of my buddies at my shop, we started talking, and we were complaining about, oh, we need a bigger motor, oh, we need a better bike, oh, we need a better RV or whatever the case was, right? That's always the thing. You always want bigger, better, stronger, faster. And it got to the point, and a couple of us were like, you know what? we need to do something for somebody else. I mean, we have stuff that some people don't have the basics. So let's try and do something. So at the time, that was when the Acorn was new.
Yep.
So it was 2001 is when I actually started a charity. So got together, kind of roped in all my crew from the desert and our group that rides and everything else and family and kind of, you know, let's try to do something for somebody else. So we started doing Off-Roaders Toy Drive. So I was lucky enough to get hooked up with the Golden Acorn at the time. First year we went up there, basically we were raising toys is what it came down to. So we were asking people to donate toys. And in return, we started raffling off a quad. At the height of it, we did two quads and a trailer.
Wow.
And that was back in the day when Ted and all those guys were involved with South Bay Motorsports.
Yep.
So they were giving us screaming deals, pretty much, you know, cost on the bikes and stuff like that. First year, maybe 300 toys. Pretty stoked that we got 300 toys. I mean, that was, you know, the first
year out.
It's
a lot of toys when,
you know, we can help a lot of people. And it is. And we were dealing with, you know,
300 kids that are a little happier.
Exactly. And it was San Diego Rescue Mission and Angel's Foster Family, Mama's Kitchen. I mean, we just started reaching out. I mean, we built it from nothing. Then it became an annual thing. We actually changed when we were going to do it. We wanted to get the most people coming home from the desert. Top of the grade, a lot of people would stop to get fuel. A lot of people would just stop just to stretch their legs, throw $20 in the machine, whatever the case was. So we actually changed our season, and instead of going to the desert for Thanksgiving, we would go the weekend before. And so we started doing the event Thanksgiving weekend, so we'd catch a vast majority of the people coming home on the way up. Next thing you know, we had 15, 20 sponsors. A lot of them still in business today that helped me out along the way. Towards the height of it, after we did it for about 8 years as a nonprofit, I wasn't a 501c3 at the time, but we were just nonprofit. So we decided, well, you know what, let's go all out. Let's get into the 501c3s and everything else. So got into that. We changed the name to Off-Roaders Outreach, went 501c3, started getting bigger stuff, did the sand show, worked the sand show for a while because I used to do some side work for Steve and Sherry over at, back then, San Diego Off-Road Magazine.
Yep.
So I worked the sand show for a year or two with them. And then Sherry actually helped me, too, just to kind of branch out and do my own thing as far as the charity work goes. And then got with Sean McRae Parker at the sand show.
Yep.
They hooked me up with a booth. And then I started running the charity full-time out of the booth. And had help from a lot of people along the way. Duncan Racing, he used to let me take his Pikes Peak Banshee Quad. We used to take that, put it in the booth just so people could kind of ooh and ah and, you know, attract people to the booth. And it was kind
that's a neat looking.
It was a cool thing. So did it. And I mean, ultimately we, you know, raised 10, 15, 20,000 toys for different groups and charities. And then in 2008, 2009, when the economy kind of started doing its thing and tanking out a little bit and things started slowing down, of course, one of the first things to go, unfortunately, was companies donating and doing stuff. Yep. So it's a constant struggle, as you guys know. It's a constant struggle to do that anyhow. So it was one of those things where we stopped for a minute and kind of regrouped and then kind of went on from there. So there's always the want to help somebody else and off-road, and we try to tie it together just to give off-roaders in general a little boost, albeit, because some people that just don't know, they're thinking off-roaders are thinking things are getting thrashed and destroyed and torn up or whatever the case. That's the absolute opposite of what most off-roaders want to do. They want to preserve it. They want to help, but they're not trying to litter. They're not trying to thrash anything. Yep. So it worked out. I mean, it worked out for years. And then after about 10, 11 years, you tend to start burning out some of your friends and relatives and stuff like that. And we did good, and it was a feel-good thing. Don't get me wrong. I mean, that was the whole point of it, was to do something for others, but at the same time, you kind of get that feel-good kind of a mix. So it was pretty cool, and it was tied into the desert and into the sand and into the dunes. So all that stuff worked out.
Yeah, exactly.
It was a good thing. I'm glad we did it, for sure.
You know, I remember SDRC donated some toys.
Yes, sir.
I remember we voted, and we spent I don't know how much money, and not me personally, but somebody else went and bought the toys and took them over there.
Yeah, actually, for the 10 years between the two different charities, the 10 plus years we did it, San Diego Off-Road Coalition was a huge part from day one. You know, Sand Addiction Magazine, San Diego Off-Road Magazine, Sand Sport Super Show, Scott Rasmussen at ECP Powder Coating.
Oh, yeah, ECP Powder Coat, yeah.
South Coast RV, which ironically is where I'm at now. They've been a sponsor from day one. So, I mean, we got to the point where there was a good 10, 15, 20, 25 sponsors. And wow, it was just a good thing. And part of it was from San Diego Off-Road Coalition.
Hold that thought. We've got to take a quick break. We'll come right back after this. SDORC Dirt Radio, 96.1 FM, 1170 AM.
The Answer.
All right. Thank you for tuning back into SDORC Dirt Radio here on FM 96.1 AM 1170.
The Answer.
All right. We're in the house with Chris Visconti. Chris Visconti has been a longtime off-road advocate and active in the industry. He's currently with South Coast RV Service Repair Center in Chula Vista. I was trying to get the Winborn brothers in here this weekend. I've been saying it for the last couple weeks. I am going to get them in still at some point in time to come in. But when you're, going out to the desert is the end of the season right now. It's the perfect time as things are changing. You need some work done. You need some parts. You need to have I keep referring to the roof probably because I need to redo mine here shortly, but you need your roof coated or window repairs or parts. South Coast RV Service Repair Center in Chula Vista has your back.
Got that right.
We'll just make it easier. South Coast RV. There you go.
South Coast RV.
So Chris, I was at SandSports last year, mm-hmm, and right by us there was a booth that had roof, they fixed roofs for RVs. And yeah, I thought, that's kind of weird. And I went and talked to them. They go, oh, yeah, the RVs come with poor quality roofs.
Yeah, there's a couple different mediums that they use. It's vinyl or TPO. If it's the ones that powder or that are, like a Rhino lining, that's like the latest thing that people have been doing. I say latest, it's probably been going on for 10 years.
Does your shop, do they do roof repair?
We do roof repair. We do not, at this time, do the coating that they do, like a Rhino lining that usually goes to other places. But yeah, we pretty much do it all. I mean,
if somebody brought it in, could you like coordinate it getting that Rhino lining? You could take it over to the other place. They would spray it, and you'd.
Just a coat on one. I mean, that's
right.
A high.
There's game. A roll.
That's
on
a lot
too.
More expensive than right. than you know the roll on one, which does the same thing. You're talking
right.
like $400, $450 material, and then the labor to have somebody do
versus
it versus thousands
yeah.
of them to have that spray on Rhino liner. The people right. next door at SandSports last year had for that were interested in selling. That's a much higher end. Granted, more durable. I mean, the roll on coating roof repair, you have to redo that every three to five years, I
yeah,
would
you're
say.
Yeah, in that range, right.
Yeah, and the one that we saw from, they had the, it was a 10 to 15, I think it had a 10-year warranty.
10-year
warranty,
right.
Yeah, and a 15, 10 to 15 year, 12,
more
15 year,
to
you're looking
right.
to, wow. to redo. So, depending on cost comparisons and long run to how long are you going to have your RV, are you going to upgrade
right,
it?
Right, right.
You know, what do you want to do with it? That all comes into play with that decision.
And it's all maintenance. It's no different from, your Jeep and your quad and your buggy and anything else. Everything's about maintenance. That's
yep.
what it comes down to. So whether it's the roof, people forget about packing their wheel bearings, and you see them all the time on the side of the road. Their wheels are smoking and everything else because they've got, they have 10,000 miles on a trailer, a little utility trailer or a toy hauler, and have never packed their wheel bearings. It's a simple task. It's a 1-2 day project to bring it into us. Typically, you can get it back. Again, we're a few weeks out right now. We're 5-6 weeks out, but something like a wheel pack, we can kind of get out sooner. Because
yep.
it's not so much the technician side of it versus our mechanic side of it.
Yep.
So wheel packs, it's a small thing that people forget.
Mm-hmm.
But when you forget it and it bites back, it's going to cost you a heck of a lot more money to deal with it.
So you have a backlog. If I called you and said, can I bring it in, say, June 15th or June 20th or whatever the time is, mm-hmm. so then I just... You'll send me a reminder?
Absolutely, yeah. Right now we're scheduling out about 6 weeks, 5.5, 6 weeks out. It kind of varies per week.
Sure.
Like anything else, some jobs take a little longer than we anticipated, and some we get them out a lot faster than we anticipated. There's still a little bit of a backlog with just everything that's been going on in the world recently. Supply chains are still a little bit messed up. Some of the stuff we used to be able to get in days or weeks is actually taking months. I mean, we've seen parts
really?
6, 7, 8, 9 months out.
Yeah.
And everyone, it's the same thing.
And
who knows?
Not your
who knows?
Fault. You
no.
just can't get it.
We just can't get it.
Oh.
And this is, you call the manufacturer and they'll flat out tell you, you're not going to see it for 6 months. And don't get me wrong, that's not on a lot of the stuff. It's just on certain items that is the case.
Yeah, certain items. I got refunded by Summit Racing for my tire carrier because my tire I think I reached 8 months since I ordered it. I ordered in September of last year, and it's still sitting on a boat off of the Port of Los Angeles, I'm sure.
Right.
And not offloaded yet. So, you know.
And it happens. I mean, it's as long as the parts are ordered, it's literally a per basis kind of a situation. So stuff comes in. We're not surprised if they say it's going to be a month out, and we're not really surprised anymore if they say you're going to have it in a week, because it's just as fast as they get stuff, it's out, because more and more people got into RVs.
Yep.
During COVID and everything else, people are hey, you know what? I'm going to go fix up grandma's coach. My dad had a coach and he doesn't want anymore. And
he wanted to go take it out.
Right. And it's just everyone had different takes on it. You know, oh God, we got to go camping and we got to go do this and that. Because whatever their thought was on the situation, you know, the world's coming to an end, whatever they were thinking, they're like, oh, we got to get out and restore it. So you have the influx of people that were bored and decided to go camping, as well as the influx of people that are like, you know what, I can't afford, and justifiably so, to go out and spend $100,000 on a new motorhome or $75,000 on a new coach, whatever the case is. Yeah. And so they buy the ones that have been around the block a little bit, and they want to fix them up and do stuff. And so it's just impacted everything to back everything up a little bit more than it usually was.
But you have everything at South Coast RV, right?
Correct.
And so it's what's the website?
The website is scrv.com. You can just go there. It's pretty simple and easy. We have new trailer sales. We've been doing service and parts for 26 years. It's a true mom-and-pop establishment. I mean, the owners, Mike and Bonnie, they've been there pretty much from day one. They work there pretty much every day. Mike's definitely there every day. Two out of their three boys are there working it, and that's the Winborn brothers. You've been trying to get in here.
Adam and Tyler.
So Tyler's our service manager. Adam's our parts manager. It's a true mom and pop shop. So some things we can kind of do and help people out because we don't have to worry about corporations or, you know, it's not always about the dollar. Don't get me wrong. We got to make a dollar to stay in business, but sometimes it breaks it down a little bit easier where we can do stuff just to get people taken care of. So the 6 week thing, it happens, but it's not a given.
Yeah.
But you do want to plan ahead. If
absolutely.
People out there, they're thinking they want to get their RV ready for the summer or for next desert season.
Absolutely.
Plan ahead, call the shop, get your appointment, and give them a break. Say, 2 months out is fine, or 7 weeks, 6 weeks is fine.
Yeah.
So you do like drivetrain stuff? You do engine?
We'll do tune-ups. We do tune-ups, brakes. Of course, we do the wheel packs, and then everything inside a coach. So.
Oh, like plumbing. The plumbing?
All your plumbing, your sanitation, your
electrical,
you know, generator, electrical, 110 inverters, solar panels, AC units. After 26 years, we pretty much cover it all. If there's a couple of things that come across, some of these new coaches get a little crazy with the technology and stuff they have in them.
There's some super expensive ones.
Oh, God, yeah.
Well, you want to know what I just did to my RV? I have a fifth wheel.
Nice.
I've got a 39-foot fifth wheel with three pop outs and stuff. So we just went through. We hydraulic oiled our, you know, oiled up the slide out
back,
so
yep,
that
yep.
they don't have issues and everything. And we're over go to dump it, and you know the dump is in the wrong spot underneath. So instead of facing out towards you to pull the handle to release it, it's actually facing in underneath the vehicle, and so you have to like grab it and force it and push it that way instead of pulling it towards you. Huh. And I was having some difficulty with it. And so I called my husband. I'm like, I can't get it loose. My husband comes and then like the pressure, it was a full tank. The pressure had been built up on it.
Oh, no.
And so he goes to do it and just snaps the entire handle. The black part of the handle, that the T part, and he just snapped it right off. So
that's never good.
Let me tell you, Chris, right now, I need to get on your schedule and I need to bring my fifth wheel down in
absolutely.
A few weeks when you have time to have that part replaced, because you know
absolutely.
I'm not gonna climb underneath and deal with any part of my black tank or
you don't want to mess
no,
with all
that I don't
stuff?
Wanna I don't want to mess with the black tank. That's not my deal.
No, we'll keep you on the radio.
I don't want
where
the
you
excel.
Right.
Yeah,
Well, and that's a good thing, again, about being a mom and pop in a smaller shop, is you can always email us. I mean, you can email scrv@scrv.com.
That's for South Coast RV. So SC is for South Coast
RV. That's it. South Coast RV. So Sierra, Romeo, Charlie,
No, South,
oh,
no.
Geez. No, what
Sierra,
did I say?
Charlie, Romeo.
Victor.
Victor. Wow.
Had a,
come on.
Had a little blank there. But yeah, the good thing is you can take a picture. You can email it to us. So even if you don't necessarily want us to do all the work, or if you have a question, hey, is this something I need to bring in? Or is this something that you can kind of do an over-the-counter of the part? Adam can help me out, whatever the case is. Feel free to, you know, shoot us an email. We can take a look at it. Sometimes it's an over-the-counter part. I mean, like the... That could
yeah,
be
no,
something
I'm
that
bringing
could be
you the fifth wheel. I'm not. This is
the
not
whole
an
thing.
Easily.
Right,
no,
right.
I don't want. That's a good release. That means it's got to be open and stuff's got to be flowing to be
right,
changed. No,
right,
it's not happening
right.
here. You got to clamp that. Do what you do, and then you know,
and
do the replacement, and then you know, and then even then, it's a little bit difficult to reach to because it's far down underneath.
Right.
And I was you know looking things up. They have extensions that I can.
They do.
I can flip it and I can bring it out, so it's right and easy and.
So and there's so many configurations because over the years, you know, every time someone makes a new coach, they try to reinvent the wheel. So there's no telling how many people have had their hand in on the coach before you got it, especially if you buy a used coach. And sometimes people will make it work. That's what off-roaders do. That's what we do. We make things work. I mean,
yep.
you know, you don't
We're
have a part.
MacGyvers.
You don't have this. Yeah, you MacGyver it. Get the thing to work. So,
yep.
So in some cases, people think that's what it's supposed to be, and it's actually not. And it's because somebody just kind of made it work because
oh,
they're
I've
in the
got a
of
wrench
nowhere.
Underneath there right now that
oh,
I got to
yeah.
use to grab it and oh. hold it and then and
so you can make
it
work
with
if
a,
you have
yeah,
to.
I gotta. It's not good.
Yeah,
the,
no, we need to get you taken care of. You definitely need to make an appointment. But and to Ed's point, I mean, it really is. It's about trying to plan ahead.
Yeah.
And it's the same thing, just like with any of your toys. I mean, if you're going out, you know, if the season's over, whatever the case is, you know, wind them down, get your generator service, get your coach service, get your axle service. And that way you are ready for the first trip. It's not, you know, don't wait till the last minute. That way there's plenty of time.
And you do generators as well?
We do generators as well. Oil
yeah.
changes. So,
yep.
I mean, oil changes on the coach.
Clean the carb.
Clean the carb. We can pretty much do it all. Generators are a little bit tricky on some of them as far as carburetors. But, yeah, it's definitely, if we can't do it, again, the beauty of our shop is if we can't do it, we're going to flat out tell you we can't do it. And we're going to kind of get you in a direction of someone that can if it's more of a specialized thing, but all the basic stuff on a coach, we got you covered. Not to mention the trailer sales that we do too. So we got a lot going on down there for sure.
Fantastic. All right, we got to take a quick break. We'll come right back after this. You're listening to SDORC Dirt Radio on FM 96.1 AM 1170.
That one.
The answer. We're back here on SDORC Dirt Radio. Thank you for tuning in. I've got Chris Visconti in the house from South Coast RV, Service Repair Center in Chula Vista. You can find him at scrv.com. We're talking about the maintenance and repairs that you need. We're talking about Chris's background in off-roading and what he's brought forth to the table.
I wanted to ask a question because... You piqued my curiosity when you mentioned solar panels.
Uh-oh. Yes, sir.
I personally hate generators.
Right.
When they're sitting there running, they make me crazy. So there's some people with RVs, they have deep cycle batteries, mm-hmm. and they can you can run your lights and your radio and your stuff off of batteries. And right. if you're out there for a while, you have solar panels. During the day, you can run off of that, and you can charge off of that. Then at night, you can...
Correct.
You can run off your battery. So, and a lot of RVs don't come with solar panels. They have a big roof,
right.
or like you know, older ones.
Right, right, right.
Right. So, they have a lot of roof space, but they don't have solar panels. So, can you
Correct.
Guys retrofit, put solar panels on an older RV?
Absolutely. Absolutely.
And the control system.
Yep. So, I mean, it's one of the misconceptions, I guess, is about solar. Solar doesn't actually run anything per se. Solar is a way to absorb energy
and charge the battery.
So it's going through a controller and it charges the battery. Then you're working everything off your battery, right?
Yeah.
So your lights, your any RV, your basics, your lighting, your furnace, your refrigerator, everything's working off of propane and battery power, 12 volt power. Mm-hmm. So the solar, yeah, it's a huge thing. It's a phenomenal way to do it. The initial investment sometimes can... For some people, it's a little bit of a shock. I mean, it's not crazy. It just depends on how bad you want to go or how big you want to
sure.
go. But, I mean, it is. It's the way to go. So, if you have, you know.
Yeah, if you want to go out for a long time.
Right.
And you don't want to have to Run that generator.
Run the generator, correct.
It's a neat, I think it's just a neat way
to go. Oh, it's phenomenal for San Diego.
Oh, yeah. Superstition.
We have a lot of sunshine.
Exactly. I mean, if you're up in Oregon and you get blown out for 5 or 6 days at a time, you know, that's a lot of people that are like, oh, solar's not that good. Well, you need to have some sunshine.
Yeah.
I mean, that's really what it comes down to. So, yeah, I mean, it's almost endless. I mean, obviously there's everything, but it's almost endless. It's the way to do it, especially for people that, you know, hey, I have a 6-year-old and he needs to watch something on TV, right? You know, when it's just the mellow part of the day or whatever the case is.
Do his schoolwork. Exactly.
Then you can just turn it on. I mean, it's pretty simple and easy. I mean, it all goes back to your battery storage that you have that the solar is charging. Yeah. But it's a definite, and we can do that on pretty much any coach. I mean, there's not really limitations on what you can do. It just depends, again, if you're going to do a small system or if you're going to do something huge to try to run everything. But yeah, solar's, in a case like this, solar's the way to go.
Yeah.
I know there's.
When I'm out at the desert and it's 9 o'clock at night and you just want the peaceful sitting at the campfire, right. And Ed and I both know this. It's one of the most. I have a friend unfortunately, I don't think I will ever go camping with again because he has a sleep apnea machine. So he never turns his generator off at night. And he goes through the whole night and it will stay on until it runs out of gas or if he fills it with gas all night long. One of the things that I love about the desert is the peacefulness, the absolute quiet.
The sereneness,
because when the campfire goes out, you don't hear anything. Right. There's absolute zero. I mean, it's silent. There's no city lights,
nothing.
No helicopter, no police sirens or ambulance sirens. You don't hear the traffic noise. You don't hear your neighbors, your dogs barking, nothing. It's eerie silent.
Right. And that's the way to go. So especially for people that do have a CPAP machine is that they can run it off of this. There's some new ones on the market that actually can run off a 12 volt instead of 110. So even if you don't have the solar, just to touch on that. So even if you don't have the solar, there's other ways to do it. And you can definitely get an inverter.
Fine.
Right. Doing a small inverter and then you can run pretty much anything 110 off of that inverter realistically.
Wow.
It's the way to do it.
Yeah. So I was trying to buy, I want to change, and he just sold it too. I was looking at, he's had a bike that he owned since he bought it in 1985.
Oh, what was it? Or what is it?
No, that was a different one. The one that you wanted is I had a 1987, just went old school, TRX.
Oh, 87.
Yeah, it was 87.
Oh,
TRX, quad.
That's the 250R?
That was a 250R, best production
absolutely
bike
pristine,
ever.
Way back when.
And
that was a
condition.
Wonderful engine.
Oh, yeah.
Boy, that thing. I love the power band. It just
it's
had
ridiculous.
A big, powerful, smooth, lot of mid-range.
He just sold it.
And it was one of the best in my, I mean, they only made them 4 years, 86 to 89. And it was one of the best production bikes ever made. And I found it on a whim. Or by accident, actually, a friend saw a tire sticking out under a tarp. He went to some guy's house and was buying his truck.
Oh, that way.
And he saw a tire, and he was just like, oh, you know, you're a desert guy, I'm a desert guy. And they started kind of chit-chatting going that route. And he goes, you know, it was the whole situation where it was the wife's bike, and you know what? She just doesn't ride it anymore, and on and on and on. And so he called me and because he knew I was looking for a new bike, and we jammed up. I think it was in Poway or something at the time, and rode up there real quick and just didn't even blink and bought it. And so I've been running it ever since then. Only had to get the motor done twice. I had Duncan do it.
Yep,
so
Duncan Racing.
Duncan Racing.
They've been a huge supporter of San Diego Off-Road Coalition for probably 25 years, I think, that Duncan Racing has donated to SDORC. Every Lost Lizard we have, anytime that I call them, those guys, they are absolutely amazing. I can't believe I'm blanking on his name right now.
On which one? Kevy. Well, there's a bunch of, I mean,
the
back
two
in
brothers.
The day. Right, there's the two brothers, and then back in the day, I was dealing with Kevy. She was the one that was kind of running the office and stuff like that. So, because they were one of my sponsors, too, for my charities. Over the years, they were always a sponsor from day one. They took care of me too. So I mean, it was nice. So it was a good bike. It was hard to see it go. Life's changing a little bit. I kind of slowed down the last 2 years. Actually, the year before COVID.
Hey, with age comes cage.
We slowed down. right. And I've had 4 or 5 sand cars over the years too. But just kind of changing it up. And now I think we're gonna get maybe we may go the Jeep route. So
Come to the dark side.
Right, to the dark side. Get
Come
out of the
to the
sand.
Dark side.
I will tell you, I think Jeeping is the way to go.
Right.
Having street legal opens up so much more terrain.
Mm-hmm.
Like those side-by-sides, everyone loves their side-by-side. You got like 10 miles in San Bernardino National Forest.
Right.
Right. You got like 50 miles of the Cleveland, and half of that you can't fit. But you have a Jeep, and you can make a Jeep work like kind of like a side-by-side. You put some money into them, you can really go places.
Absolutely.
And Sebrego has 500 miles of routes. You can take a Jeep in there. You can't take a side-by-side in there.
Yep. Right. It makes a huge difference.
And you don't need a trailer. Right. You don't need a one-ton truck. You don't need a garage where you're just going to stick that thing. You can leave it in the driveway, in the street.
Right, right. And that's easy. Well, and that's the thing back to the shop, to the Windborne brothers and back to the shop, is all three of them have Jeeps. And they're just, they've all off-roaded from day one. Mike, the owner, he, you know, used to race. They do Superstition and Acatia. They've been doing that forever and a day since they moved out here from, God, I want to say Iowa back in the 90s. And so they've always been, done that. They've always been a part of that. And now they all, the three of them, actually the two boys or two of the three boys and Mike, they all have their Jeeps and Jeep Unlimiteds now, different variations thereof. And they're starting to play with them a little bit more. And well, they had a couple of them out when we did the cleanup at Painted Gorge.
Yes. Yeah.
So the boys, all three of them brought their Jeeps out there and just kind of started dabbling around. It's a little bit different
with
ride.
There was neat Jeeps at that. There's everybody had Jeeps at the Painted Gorge cleanup.
Oh, yeah.
Except for me.
Well, not everybody.
But a lot of people had Jeeps.
Mike had his buggy out from TDS, and then there was a couple of Toyotas.
There's a whole bunch of built Jeeps.
Yes.
And I've seen some built Jeeps that could go fast on rough terrain, which really surprised me. And, of course, they can creep over rough terrain, too.
Oh, absolutely.
And they can go down the highway. So.
Right, right, right. And it's like anything else. I mean, just, you know, how fast do you want to go? How much money do you want to put into it? And what's your knowledge?
It's always compromises.
Oh, yeah. Right? Absolutely.
But still.
And that's why it is. You know, you get a little older. You got that comfort. Hey, it's getting a little warm out. You know, we're on a flat spot. Let me go ahead and turn on the AC for a minute. I mean, there's definitely some
the heater
pros.
And the AC and the music. Audrey, would you have bought that TRX if you'd known and the price was right?
Oh, I knew, and the price was on. But my husband and I was in the process of getting the lift on the Jeep and upgrading the Jeep or buying myself a new quad. And Jeep or quad. And as much as I want the quad, I spent the money on the Jeep because we've been.
And I tend not to wait when I'm ready to do something. I try to get it.
Yeah, and he had it listed on Craigslist and he got some offers for a little bit more than what I was willing to pay. So it was like, you got to do what you got to do, Chris. As much as I want it, you know, I totally understand your position as well because I've been in that position selling my stuff.
In theory, you could ride KJ's three-wheeler.
Oh, yeah. Oh, I totally could.
It's a similar experience.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah, I totally could. So we have an 85 250R built to the tilt, big board out, and everything to it that you could possibly
long
have
swinger.
Done to it. It's long. Oh, yeah. It's.
I've never seen it.
He
someday,
can. He hit that thing at like, oh, man, I want to say almost 80 miles an hour down the drags at Gordon's before. I've seen him. Oh, yeah.
Next time I'm over there, will you pull the tarp off it and show me?
Yeah, we moved it from the garage down into the sea container, so it's got a new.
So at least it moved a little bit from here to there kind of a thing. So
got a little tune-up. He drove it up and down the hill, made sure it was all good to go, cleaned the carb on it, and then hid it away.
That's what you got to do. That's something, too, is people don't really like, even with the desert stuff. I was in the Army, and one of my buddies that I served with, we did 4 years together, and basically the same season that I got out, he was still up at Fort Ord before the base closed. And I have had a quad of his. He lives in Texas still. He bought a quad that same year I got out, brought it to my house, and he started back in the day. God, I think he had the 350 Warrior or something. It was just kind of a whatever. Then he went to 250 because we had a whole lot of pingers in my group back in the day. Mm-hmm. So he had an 86 250R, and then now he's got the 450R. So I've had a quad of my buddies in my house since 92 and he literally flies out from Texas or he'll drive out from Texas.
Did he decide to sell it yet?
Just to go. And actually that one, he got more into kind of scuba diving in his cars. He's got some, you know, he's a 72 guy. So he's got 72 Chevilles and C10 pickups and stuff like that. So his life's changing just a little bit. So, yeah, so his bike actually is going to be for sale, too. But it's just kind of cool that...
Oh, see, 450 fits me even better than the 250.
But,
so,
but someone that's not even here... And that's what I like about the off-road scene, though, is people that aren't even living here full-time. You know, people, obviously, San Diego Off-Road Coalition. But off-roading is everywhere.
It's everywhere.
Everywhere. And even though he's in Texas, he still chose, since 92, he has chose to come out to ride Imperial Sand Dunes. Again, I'm a sand guy, so... But he's chose to drive out or fly out since 92 to ride the sand dunes with us. And he'll come out two or three times a year. It's not like it's once every 5 years. He literally comes out a few times a season to ride with us. So it was just kind of cool that he's willing to do that or wanted to do that.
That is neat.
Yeah, it's, I mean, some of the things that you don't think about. It's part of our economy when I talk about that we get thousands of people. We get it's an international destination. It's known throughout the world for its sand dunes. It's comparable to, you know, I don't even want to go into it. But it to me, it is one of the best places. Glamis is my heart and soul. This Imperial Sand Dunes, I know most of the hills.
The
I know
States,
all the...
Anywhere no. like that. No. Anything. No. There's other sand dune complexes you can ride
lots
in.
Lots of them.
But not in the scale.
Not at all.
No. Not in this. Not the height and the width and the mm-hmm. length.
And it seems like, I mean, I'm sure it's not every state because someone's definitely going to correct me on that. But there's quite a few states. I'll go as far as almost half the states
has some sort of
sand dune, small, large. It may only be a mile, but I mean, mm-hmm. there's, you know, Pink Coral.
St. Anthony's, you've got
Sahara in Texas. So, yep. I mean, there's a lot of areas, but nothing competes to what San Diego has to offer. It just doesn't. I mean, it's the best, Imperial Sand Dunes.
It's the best. And there's bigger sand dune places, and there's a huge one in Mexico and Saudi Arabia. But in the first world country, in the United States, where it's a pretty safe place and you get hurt, the helicopter will take you away.
Right. What scares me is, and I've always said this, is whatever California does with our recreational lands and our public lands, the rest of the country tends to follow suit for what San Diego does. So, you know, keep being active in the community, being active in with the agencies that monitor and manage those areas is absolutely key. We got to take a quick break. We'll come right back after this. You're listening to SDRC Dirt Radio on FM 96.1 AM 1170.
The Answer.
All right. We're on our final segment of our 3 hours here. Thank you, Dave Stahl, for allowing us to come in and cover while you're out. And right now should be You Ought to Know, and we're talking off-road SDRC Dirt Radio on FM 96.1 AM 1170.
The Answer.
So we're in studio here. We've got Chris Visconti. He used to be off-road outreach.
Off-roaders outreach.
Off-roaders outreach. I almost said that backwards. Right. I had to catch myself and think about it. My dyslexia this week, man. Ed Stoven here. We're wrapping up on our last 15-minute segment. I want to do a shout-out again to Kelly and Justin Termite and Pest Control. It's family-owned and operated business with over 45 years of experience. I'm excited to have Justin out to my house on Monday to treat for my ants and my earwigs I've got going on. Tis the season.
You need a bugs.
Bi-monthly or quarterly pest control service. Give them a call at 619-441-7378.
Dyslexics on tie.
I just learned that. I did not know what that was when he told me, because I've had, you know, my dyslexia has been bad this week, and he's like, no, it's dyslexia's unite, because untie is unite. It's back, you know.
You just switch two letters and you go from one. So dyslexics untie. I want to talk a little bit about lobbying, because we SDRC has had lobbyists on and off for 20 something years. I used to help manage a guy named Pete Conaty, who represented us. We had Terry McHale for 1 year. We had a federal guy named Paul Cavanocchi that helped us. And 5 years ago, we hired Kathy Lynch in Sacramento to help. And she did a fabulous job. It's hard to understand what lobbyists are, what they do, and their value. Sure. Lobbyists will represent and help an organization or a group in a capital. And there's city, there's county, there's state, and there's federal lobbyists. So we hired state lobbyists. We like to have a state lobbyist. The off-road program for off-roading in California goes through state government. Even the federal agencies, they get big grants through the state to help pay for that. So we like to have some say in Sacramento. So we hired Kathy 5 years ago, and 2 months ago we got the terrible news that she had been murdered.
Very unfortunate news.
It was such super a brilliant sad.
Woman. It's been absolutely devastating, I think, for those in Sacramento. She's been in Sacramento since 86. She's been very active in the Capitol, and
she works pretty much by herself. She has an assistant, but she She's not in a firm with a bunch of lobbyists. So before I hired her, I interviewed other lobby firms. And some of them, well, we have a bunch of people and anybody can help us. So unfortunately, she passed away. I have airfare. I'm heading up there on Wednesday. So a week from Wednesday, they're having a memorial service, a celebration of life for Kathy in Sacramento.
For her.
So I'm flying up there.
And yeah. For all of her clients and friends and anybody that would like to join. She touched many lives during her 30 years working in the Capitol. But on Wednesday, May 18th, from 5 to 8 p.m. at the Sutter Club in Sacramento, we will be honoring the memory of Kathy and Jerry. They unfortunately were both murdered in their home, and it was a very, very tragic, devastating event that took place. And so I just wanted to mention it and make sure
thanks.
That people are aware.
Yeah, thanks. I'll be heading up there. I don't know what to wear. Maybe you can help me.
I'll be happy.
I'm just an off-roader. I don't know what.
Right.
I don't think a t-shirt and jeans are appropriate.
No.
Maybe I'll wear a black suit.
You need a suit and tie for this event, yes.
Now, I don't think you've been to the Sutter Club, Audrey.
No.
I've been there a number of times. So we used to have off-road lobby day, and all the off-roaders in the state would congregate, would meet up in the Capitol, and we would walk the halls, and we would talk to legislative offices about our issues. We'd typically have a bill we were fighting or we were supporting, so at the end of the day we would meet at the Sutter Club for dinner and drinks, and we would invite legislators and their staff to the Sutter Club. And it's a really swanky place. Like the legislative staff, when they get invited to the Sutter Club, they get all excited and they're like, okay, we're gonna go.
Right.
It's a nice place. So when I heard that the event is going to be there, like, okay, it's a place where people walk around with a tray of hors d'oeuvres, and there's a little shrimp thing or a little, who knows, a little cracker thing.
Right.
Would
you like an hors d'oeuvre?
It'll be a good event. Hopefully you can maybe do some mingling. I'm sure there might be a couple other lobbyists.
I want to do some mingling.
We do need to find a lobbyist.
So I interviewed a lobbyist a week and a half ago.
I caught that email.
And we'll see. I don't want to say anything about who or what, but
no, we
gotta
do
I got
a little
to spend an hour with somebody talking about stuff, and there's a possibility. I'm not the only person who makes the decision. We have a lobby coalition. So we work with the American Sand Association and the
Corva.
California Off-Road Vehicle Association.
Okay. Yeah.
So Corva and ASA. So
right.
The three of us together will decide. And I know Amy spent time with this person, and Bob Hamm knows this person from when he worked in the legislature. So we'll see. There'll be other clients that Kathy had at this event, this memorial. So
I'm hoping we can team up with the Hunters or
I'm wondering if
something.
Some of those clients would maybe want to work together with us and we combined get somebody.
Yeah, she had an absolute amazing following.
She had a bunch of clients.
Yeah.
I don't know, 10 or 12 clients.
Wow.
All right, so switching gears, let's bring up something new. I want to just talk about next weekend on Sunday, May 15th. Ed's not going to be in radio with us. He won't be in studio. He's going to be out and about putting on his event. He's teamed up with San Diego Adventure Riders. We've talked about it for the last couple weeks. We've got the dual sport motorcycle event for you. You're going to be meeting at Moda Forza between 8 and 10 in the morning for signups. This is not going to be an entire group going out at one time. We are limiting it to 100 people, but it will be sign up, register, and go. We're going to give you a route, let you know where to go, what you need to do, and then it's a three peak mountain dash.
Nice.
Three peaks in San Diego County.
Julian and Otay Mountain. We'll be going over each one. There'll be about 42 miles of dirt and then about 100 miles of pavement.
Yep. So
you need a street legal vehicle.
Right,
there'll be vehicles. You can expect oncoming traffic on any of the routes.
Yep. Please be safe. Make sure you've got all your gear, you're geared up.
50 miles between gas stops.
You can still register online. I think registration is closing, though.
No, it's still, we'll keep it open to the event.
Oh, to the day of the event.
But you won't be able to get a t-shirt at the event.
Okay.
So it includes a t-shirt. And if you sign up today, I already have the t-shirt order in. They needed 10 days to get the shirts. So we're going to make a second order after the event, and then we'll mail you your t-shirts.
Okay. Nice. All right. Well, hopefully you can join us for that event that's coming up next weekend on Sunday, May 15th.
Oh, I got some bad news. Marty Tripes is going to cater.
Yeah, we've been talking about Marty.
Marty texted me on Thursday. He's in the hospital. He's got heart problems.
Oh, that's never good. Oh, I'm so sorry to hear that,
Marty. He's a bigger guy and an older guy, so I sure wish him the best. So I found somebody that I think is going to take good care of us. And in fact, maybe this afternoon I'll go talk to them again. But you will not go hungry.
Well, that's good because dinner's included with camping. You're going to end up at Pio Pico Campground in Otay, so it'll be great.
Free tent camping. If you want to just bring your adventure stuff, you bring your adventure bike with your tent, ground cloth, sleeping bag. Sleep right on the ground over there.
Yeah. Make it a whole thing. Make it a whole thing. That's
definitely
the way to do
it. That's what it's about.
Always got to enjoy
it. We want to do a huge shout out for Chris coming in and joining us from South Coast RV.
I appreciate it.
Yeah, yeah. Just do one more rundown for us. Give us the information.
Yeah, just the basics. Again, parts and service. Kind of mom and pop. Been in business since '95, so 27 years and rolling. We got pretty much all your service needs taken care of. Your retail parts, over the counter parts. Stuff you didn't know you needed, you find. So it's kind of one of those things where you come to the store, you kind of look around. People do it all the time. I don't know what I need. Just keep walking around the shop a little bit and you'll figure it out. You'll find stuff that you didn't realize you needed until you see it, kind of a deal. And then also, we took on a small venture and we are selling Sunset Park trailers. So it's kind of the minimalistic, inexpensive, lightweight trailers.
Nice.
So the people that have a Jeep.
It's not a flatbed. You can walk in. You can stand inside of it.
It starts at some of them. It's definitely an upgrade from a tent, but they're rated at about 2,000 pounds up to stuff that's rated at 3,500 pounds. So if you have a Jeep, you need to get out somewhere. You need all the basics covered, your fridge, your microwave, all that good stuff. We got you covered. ACs, awnings, small, lightweight, classic looking. It's the way to go. There's Sunset Park. And that's all at 801 Broadway in Chula Vista. If you need to reach out to us, the phone number is 619-476-7195. Or again, you can email us at scrv@scrv.com. And that's SCRV like South Coast RV to try to keep it simple and easy.
Fantastic. Thank you so much for joining us, Chris. We really appreciate having you on.
I appreciate coming out. Maybe soon we'll get the Windborne brothers out here and they can chit-chat a little bit more and get it going.
I don't know how I missed even saying this on radio, but I know you from the Imperial Sand Dunes Dunes Cleanup. You did Gordon's Wells portion of it. You were our raffle announcer and put on the raffle for us on that portion of it. And it's been absolutely amazing. So thank you very much. Become a member of SDORC.org, $25 annual membership. Thank you for listening to SDORC Dirt Radio here on FM 96.1 AM 1170.
The answer.
This program is sponsored by Dave Stahl.